Sir. Hey, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
This is my first time to ever preach in Australia, so here we go.
We'll remember that.
Amen.
Don't make it the last.
Right? Don't make it the last. Amen. I just want to say that God is good, and I'm so blessed to be alive today. I'm blessed to be saved today. And to know Christ as my Savior. Just to tell you a little bit about myself, I was saved at the age of 5. I asked Christ to save me when I was 5 years old, when my dad was a pastor in America. And when I was 8 years old, my dad said, "We're going to be missionaries." I said, "Sounds good to me." We got on a plane, went to Singapore. We were there for a couple years. And then God brought us to Australia. We lived in Carindale, up by Brisbane, for about four and a half years. And then after that, God moved us to Fiji. But it was in Brisbane, I was about 12 years old, that I dedicated my life to do what God wanted me to do. But when I turned around 18, 19, I said, "God, I'll do what you want me to do, except be a pastor. I don't want to do that." But you know what? When you do what God wants you to do, God enables you. God doesn't say, "Go do it," and that's it. God enables you. And I've been blessed to be a missionary for 17, 18 years. We were in Fiji, or American Samoa, now we're in Fiji. And I've been married for 17 years to a wonderful lady. She exists. You've never met her, but she does exist. And I brought my daughter this morning, Jenna. She's 13 years old. God has given us 7 children.
Amen.
4 boys and 3 girls. And they've been born in 2 different states in America. They've been born in American Samoa, and they've been born in Fiji. So my wife is a real trooper. And thank the Lord for her. Thank the Lord for last year when my medical heart condition happened, and I met you at the community center. And, you know, I didn't know what was going to happen. Was I going to be able to live? Was I going to die? Was I going to go to heaven? I don't know. And then I had the leg problem, and I'm hobbling around, you know. But, you know, God is good. And through all of that, I've learned. What do? You just trust Him. Did you trust Him to save you? Did you trust Him to take away your sins? Well, what do after that? You just keep trusting Him. You don't get saved by works, and you don't live by works as a Christian. You live by faith. And God is so good, and I'm thankful today that there's a man in Fiji that I led to the Lord, a former Methodist, and he's now preaching today, serving the Lord, and I'm thankful for the church is still going on when I'm not there. Amen? And that's exciting. So we're in the city of Nandi, which is right near the airport, and we have a 1 acre of property that's about 1.5 kilometers from the airport. And it's worth 3 or 4 times more than what we paid for it. You know, you just trust God. God will provide. And they called the lady on the phone who sold it to us. They said, "You're crazy for selling it at that price." And she said, "I want this for God." You know, you trust God. God provides. Amen?
Amen.
Look in Philippians chapter 4, if you would. We've been going through this small book, but powerful book. Of course, we know God's the author, amen?
Amen?
You know, whenever I was looking for churches to go to on the Gold Coast, I remember coming across your church and how it said something along, "We are a Bible-believing, independent Baptist church, and we only use the King James." I'm like, that's it. That's all I need to hear, amen? I'm there. Where is it at? Called the pastor on the phone. He was on holiday, I think. But we still came and met you folks. Let me tell you, you are in the right place. This is a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. You are in the right place. Don't go anywhere. Amen?
Amen.
Be faithful. Support your pastor. Love your pastor. And support the work of the church. And I know being a pastor's kid and being a pastor myself, being a pastor can be discouraging, can be difficult sometimes. You feel like the weight of the world is on you. But when you know someone's praying for you, and someone lets you know, maybe just a text message or an email, that we're praying for you. Our church has been praying for you folks. ever since I was here last year, you're on our prayer list, and we pray for you, pray for Pastor, and pray for each and every one of you, of course, to be strong in the Lord, to be faithful. You know, Jesus is coming back. We don't know when, but he's coming back, amen? And looking forward to that great day. But of course, let's look here in Philippians chapter number 4, this epistle of joy, this letter of joy, how the Apostle Paul, of course, was in prison in Acts chapter 16. Him and Paul and Silas were on this missionary journey. They come to the city of Philippi. They meet this seller of purple, Lydia, this damsel who's possessed with the demon. And because of it, they're beaten and they're thrown in prison. And what do? Do they sit there and go, oh, woe is us. Serving God is terrible. Why are we doing this? They sing praises to God. You read there in Acts chapter 16, the Bible says they prayed and they sang praises to God. I was in the hospital here on the Gold Coast for almost 3 weeks. And I said to myself, what am I doing in bed? Well, I'm supposed to be young. I'm supposed to be able to play footy with my kids, right? Now I'm in bed. What do we do when these difficult times come? You know, the Apostle Paul, we complain about a cold, but the Apostle Paul had it worse than we do. It says there, of course, we know he had beatings. Things came into his life, imprisonment, shipwrecks, lies, starvations. I mean, you name it. And what does he say in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4? We know it. It says, rejoice in the Lord, what? Always. And again, I say, rejoice. He says in chapter 3, verse 1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Can I ask you today, are you rejoicing in the Lord? Oh, but Pastor, you don't know my problems. Oh, but Pastor, you don't know my difficulties. We all got problems. Amen. But God is bigger than our problems. God is stronger than our problems. Don't look at the waves like the disciples on the boat. Look to Jesus. He's stronger than all of our problems. You know, the truth is the Apostle Paul could have complained in the midst of his troubles. But this epistle, or this letter to the church at Philippi, as he's writing it in prison, he says, rejoice in the Lord. What does Psalms 106 verse 1 say? Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And the old devil, the adversary, comes along and says, God has forgotten you. He has not. God is good. I remember being in Samoa, and one of the first songs that I learned is, God is so good. Olelele atua. God is good. You know what? I want you to look here what the Bible tells us in chapter 4, Philippians. The Apostle Paul says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state that I am, therewith to be content. How could the Apostle Paul be content? How could he rest? How could he be satisfied? Because his sufficiency was found in Christ. It was not found in a place. It was not found in a circumstance. It was not found in materialism. It was found in Christ. You know, everybody in Fiji, they have the mentality, I want to go to Australia. I want to live in Australia. Australia is heaven. I said, no, it's not heaven. Australia is paradise. If I could just move to Australia or move to America or move to New Zealand or wherever, it would be great. No, it's not. You know, we have this drive in our minds that the grass is greener on the other side. Down in our camp property, which is an hour away, beautiful property by the hills, one of the men has a goat and they have the fence. Just about every time I drive by on that road, there's a goat's got its head stuck in the fence. Because it's got all of this. But he thinks this is better. This little patch. If But he's got all of this to crazy. Got it, bah, you know, he's making that noise. Bah. I'm like, you stupid goat. What did you do? You know, that's what we do. We say, God, there's something better. No, there's not. Don't let the devil tell you that there's something better out there, because there's not. You cannot get anything better than what God has given you through Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Amen. 1 Timothy 6:6 says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. All you need is Jesus. In prison, the Apostle Paul was content. Whenever he was tied, or whenever he was talking to that runaway slave, Philemon, Onesimus, they were speaking and trying to get him to come back to his slave owner. Whenever he was tied to a soldier, he was content. 2 Corinthians 12:9, what does Jesus say? He sends them, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Are you content today? How could the Apostle Paul be content? He says there in verse 12, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to be brought up. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed. You know what? No matter what, we have to live above the circumstances. Life has its ups and downs. The Apostle Paul is saying, I've learned how to face hard times and difficulties without panicking. I don't know about you, but man, sometimes I panic. My mind goes to the what if, to the worst case scenario. That's me. Boom. No, don't do that. I remember when our seventh child was born, our little Mary. She's three. And the doctors did the old thing of, oh, I see something on this ultrasound. Doesn't look good. Doesn't look right. Could be a problem. Boom, my mind goes to, oh my goodness. Was God going to take her home? Is she going to live a happy life? Is she going to make it? Is she going to survive? My wife's like, whoa, slow down. We went for the scan, like an extra, more intense scan. Doctor says, she's fine. I'm like, see, what were you doing, man? She's fine. She's energetic. She's cute. She's beautiful. She's gorgeous, but she's a sinner. Amen. Thank God. The Apostle Paul was abounding and abiding in Christ. Amen. Joseph is an example of someone who was brought low in prison. He was falsely accused. He was tempted by Potiphar's wife, thrown in prison. But then he was brought up to the palace. Amen. And his brothers bowed down before him, just like the dream said. You know what? What's the secret of contentment? I think the Bible gives us the answer. Verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Let's think this morning about God's strength. God's strength. Amen. What does the Bible tell us in Zechariah chapter 4 and verse number 6? Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Amen. Amen. Not by your power, not by my might, but by God's Spirit within us. The secret to everything in the Christian life, and in this context, we could be saying, referring to the work of Christ, but everything in my life and in the work of Christ is Christ in me. His victory, his power, his might, his joy, his wisdom. Number one, what is it? It's simply Christ in you. It's simply God's power in your life. Whatever he has for you to do, whatever he has for me to do. I say, Lord, I'll be a pastor. Anything but a pastor. Man, I don't know. because I looked at myself. I didn't look at God. He's an all-powerful God. He's an almighty God. Amen? Sometimes we bring God down in our minds, but we need to see God as Isaiah did in Isaiah chapter 6. High, holy, and lifted up. This world brings God down, and they call him blasphemous names like the man upstairs. He's not the man upstairs. He's the creator God. Amen. You see, this word strength in the Bible is seen hundreds of times. It refers to power. It refers to might. It refers to what God can do. We see there in Ephesians chapter number 6 about this battle, this spiritual warfare. Finally, my brethren, verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The Bible tells us in Psalms 84, 5, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee and whose heart are the ways of them. Look here, place in Acts chapter number 9, if you would. Acts chapter number 9, we know that Paul was Saul, that was a killer of Christians, was a man that did everything he could to root out and persecute and stop the early Christian church. And we know that the Apostle Paul was a wicked man. You know, I used to go to the prison for the ministry in Bible college, and I had a man say to me, and I didn't know much back then, I still don't know much. I'm still learning, amen? He said, I don't think God can save me. I'm too wicked. You don't know what I've done. I said, listen, God could save a man like Saul and make him to be one of the greatest men to ever live. God can save you. There's no person that's too far gone. There's no person that's too deep. God can save us. Amen. God can change us. And in Acts chapter number 9, we see how Saul, of course, sees the on the road to Damascus. In verse 5, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Of course, then he loses his sight, and then he goes to Ananias. And then Ananias is told by God that Saul's going to come. Oh, I've heard about Saul. And then what does Saul, he receives his sight. Verse 20, and straightway when he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt in Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. Now, whenever Saul became Paul, and he went from hating Christ to persecuting Christ to now he's preaching Christ, they didn't lay down the carpet and welcome him. They didn't say, pat him on the back and say, we love you, Paul. They didn't like him at all. How could he preach Christ to this hostile crowd? It says there, because he increased more in strength. Amen. He and preached more in strength. The Bible tells us in that verse that we know where it says in verse chapter 4 of Philippians, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Verse 7, it says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds, notice, through Christ Jesus. Christ living in Paul made all the difference. Number one, what is it? It's Christ living in me. Number two, why do I need it? Why do I need it? You know what? I remember my oldest child is Scott Jeffrey. He's 15. He's about as tall as I am. And I said, well, this is my book. The more you eat, the more you work. Amen? Isn't that good? Dad, I'm hungry. Well, that's what my dad taught me. The more you eat, the more you work. Let's go, son. Get you to work. But he's great. Wash the car, cut the grass, set up for church, whatever. But I remember when my children were small, They try to do that thing of picking up a bag or picking up a suitcase trying to pick up a heavy book, and they're suffering along, and they're dropping it, and it falls on their foot or whatever the case is. And I'll say, well, you need your help. Oh, no, I can do it. I can do it. And they'll struggle along, and they'll finally say, Dad, I need your help. You know what? We're like that with God. No, God, I can do it. I got it. I got this all figured out. Look what the Bible, we don't have to turn there if you don't want to, but the Bible says in John 15, we know this passage. Jesus says, I am the vine, ye are the branches, verse 5. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruits. For without me, ye can do nothing. Amen. Oh, no, I got this all figured out. I've got my education. I've got my job. I've got my life all figured out. You know, Matthew 26:41 says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. For the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Amen. Matthew 5:3 says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. We have got to see ourselves as nothing. We've got to see ourselves as weak. We've got to see ourselves as poor in spirit. We're poor and needy. Oh God, I am nothing, but you are everything. The Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of all the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Human strength always fails. God's strength always sustains. Amen. If I'm resting in my faith or my strength today, my power, I will always fail. Always. Can I say today that when I trust in myself, it's self-confidence, it's self-sufficiency, it's the attitude of, I got this, comes down to that root of pride, that we're all guilty of it. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Oh, it's in all of us. We need God to lift us up. Amen. We need God to strengthen us. In Exodus chapter number 17, you got your Bibles turned there. Exodus chapter 17, we know the story of Joshua fighting the battles of the Lord. We know Moses was older, getting older. Exodus chapter 17. Verse 10, so Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Verse 11, and it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands. The one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. You understand today, I need God to hold up my hands. I need God to strengthen me. Just like Aaron and Hur did. Whenever Moses' hands were heavy, the burdens of life are too heavy for me. I need God to hold me up. not just in the dark times, but every day. Lord, I need you. Lord, we need you today. Amen. Just like Aaron and Hur held up the hands of Moses. Can I also say that we need to help encourage one another, strengthen and support one another, especially your pastor. Amen. Jeremiah 9:23 says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches." Remember Saul in the Old Testament, 1 Kings? What was his problem and his downfall? It was pride. It was pride. It was rebellion. But it started in his heart. Just this morning as we searched our hearts, do I have pride in my heart today? Do I have that self-will, that self-sufficiency, that self-righteousness, that I'm good? We're not. We see in the book of Numbers that Syrian general named Naaman, who had leprosy, and he was told by the prophet to dip himself 7 times in the Jordan River. But he looked at that river and he said, it's dirty. I'm not putting myself in there. I'm a general. And this servant girl told him about this prophet. You know what? He had to humble himself and dip himself in that river. We got to humble ourselves today. Who are we? Nothing but sinners saved by grace. We're nothing but sinners that deserve death and hell. Quickly, number three, where can I find this strength? You cannot find it in man, money, or ministers. Referring to the government, amen? You can't find it in your own self. You can't find it in a place. You can't find it in a religion. Look what the Bible says back there, if you would, in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. I think, and I believe it's through this simple phrase. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. The answer is through Christ. When you're all alone, through Christ. When you're discouraged, through Christ. When you've sinned, through Christ. When you're tempted to sin, through Christ. When you don't know where to turn, through Christ. How can I be strengthened today to be a godly father, a minister? How can I be strengthened today to carry on through Christ? I love how the Apostle Paul teaches us here in chapter 3, verse 3. And he says, have no confidence in the flesh. Have no confidence in the flesh. Of course, he's referring to his good works. He's referring to what he has done. And he says, those things I counted loss for Christ. Verse 9 of chapter 3, and being found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. He says, have no confidence in the flesh. The flesh can't save you. And the flesh can't keep you. Amen? Have no confidence in the flesh. Draw on God's strength. Ephesians 3:16 says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Colossians 1:11 says, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Here's one of my favorite, Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Perhaps a familiar one, Psalms 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalms 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I'll never forget the day I heard that verse. It was September 11th, 2001. Most of you know what happened on that day. The terrorist attacks in New York City. At that time, I was in Bible college, and I remember the pastor called us all into the chapel, the church, and he read that verse. I'll never forget it. God is our strength. Amen?
Amen.
Don't glory in yourself today. Glory in God's strength. Remember the story in Judges chapter number 7 with Gideon? And they're about to fight the Midianites. And God says, no, too many people in the army. And he brings it all the way down to 300 to fight those Midianites. Of course, in the middle of the night, they scare them. They broke the pitchers and they blow the horns. And the Midianites wake up and they start killing one another. Say, what? You know why God did that? To show them it was him and it wasn't them. It wasn't their power. It wasn't their strength. It was him that gave them the victory. Amen. How do I get this strength that Philippians 4:13 is talking about? That I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Psalms 28:7 says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in him and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. Number one, by trusting in him and not our own understanding. Proverbs 3:5-6, you know it. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Here's a hard one for me. Number two, by waiting on the Lord. I don't like to wait. Amen? I got out of Bible college, and people say, what's wrong with you? Why aren't you married? I said, I don't know. I went to all these churches, brother, and every pastor's wife tried to set me up with every single girl in the church. I had to run real quick, amen? I got out of Bible college when I was 23. I didn't get married till 4 years old later. But you know what? God's timing is always right. Psalms 27:14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Number three, by praising God, even when things are hard. Psalms 145, verse 3, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. Number four, by giving thanks. Just like Paul and Silas did in that prison. I guarantee you there went no air conditioning. I guarantee you there wasn't no food that was good, fit to eat. I guarantee you it was super uncomfortable. I guarantee you they hated it. But they praise God. Praise God in the good times. Praise God in the bad times. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. My mom always said, you don't have to like it, but you have to give thanks for the food. Amen?
Amen.
I don't like vegetables. I didn't like vegetables. Give thanks. Amen? Don't get in that dumdrum of complain. Give thanks for all he's done for us. Number five, give your burdens and cares to the Lord. Let him carry them. Casting all your care upon him. 1 Peter 5:7, for he careth for you. Number six, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Colossians 3:2. Number seven, by looking unto Jesus. Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The last one, number eight, see your inability and see his ability. Remind yourself, I'm not able, but he is able. There's a song, he's able. I know he's able. God is able. I can't do it, Pastor. God can. Don't let Satan defeat you with his lies today. Don't let Satan defeat you that it's not impossible. We serve the God of the impossible. Look to the God of the impossible to do things that you never thought possible. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Amen? Amen. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Pastor, would you come?